Welcome the last time newcomer, Gary, right?
George.
George, sorry, I'm like, what again? George, and then Cecilia, right? Sophia, George, Sophia, Janita, Nina, okay. And then today we have Jerry, our newcomer, all the way from West Vancouver. Welcome.
Another North Shore.
So the North Shore crowd is getting stronger now. Yeah. The North strong and bright, strong and free. Yeah. And I'm from the South. Yeah. So pretty good attendance again. So thank you for coming. We are going to have Lent in a couple of days, and of course during Lent we have that we foster the spirit of penitence, of sacrifice. Of course, one of the most practical way to sacrifice is to offer up the daily duties that we should be doing. So there are things that we ought to do anyway, but when we do them well and we offer them up to God, that's a good way to do sacrifice. I think you may remember the story that I told you before, that before Our Lady appeared in Fatima in 1916, when the angel appeared to the three children, the angel appeared to them three times. And then, so the angel told them about reparation, you know, making sacrifice. And then the children one day were playing, and the angel asked them, what are you doing, you know, and the angel basically tell them to make sacrifice. And Lucia asked, you know, how to make sacrifice, and the angel told them, you know, to make whatever you can a sacrifice. So anything that we do, you know, the daily thing that we are doing, we can always offer them up a sacrifice. So during Lent, that can be a good thing to remember, make everything you can a sacrifice. So sometimes it can be just you feel tired, or you feel not so well, or you sometimes you can be you know, when you feel anointed, you know, or you feel burdensome of doing things, you always can offer that up to God. And then the thing that we are doing, we can always offer them up to God. So Saint Francis de Sales, he loved to say that, you know, any devotion which was in opposition to or not in conformity with man's true calling was not an authentic devotion. So genuine devotion was consistent with every state of life. It's like a liquid, you know, poured into a container, and then it's adopted to the shape of the container. So true devotion really will help to enhance our vocation, our daily duties. So performing everyday duty, so being devoted to our calling means performing every duty which is required of us with heartiness, diligence, strength, and cheerfulness for the love of God. Common duties become religious acts when performed with fervor. Heartiness and diligence foster charity in their performance. Hence, he fulfills this rule is truly devoted to in his vocation and serves God in true spirit, doing His will. So that's, this is actually written by a friend of St. Francis de Sales, that book that I told you last time about the spirit of St. Francis de Sales. There is a book called Year with the Saints. That book is interesting. That book is, you have a whole year. Every day they will, every month they will focus on one particular virtue. It can be one month on meekness, one month on humility. Another month will be on diligence, you know, another month on obedience. So each month there is a virtue, and for each day there is a quotation from a saint about that particular virtue, and then also one story or two, you know, from the life of the saints to make the point of that particular virtue. So it's a pretty neat book to have. And so basically when I wrote the article for Diligence, I based myself heavily on that book, on the month when, I think it was August, when talking about diligence, being hardworking. You see, Marissa is a good example of diligence. Never stop doing it. So, anyhow, according to that book, you know, a few quotations read for a few days, it's about the four hindrances, you know, four things or four obstacles which prevent us from performing our actions well. And so of the four, three of them actually it was quoting St. Francis de Sales. So those four hindrances or obstacles are, the first one is that while we are doing one thing, we are thinking about another we have to do or which we have done. So when we are doing things, we are not focused, and so we don't do anything well, you know. And then the second one is haste, that we make things in haste, that we are always in a hurry. The third one is anxiety. And the fourth one is the desire to do too much. So those are the four obstacles that we can have of doing our actions well. So in order to, the first one, of course, the opposite would be to stay focused, right? To stay focused. So a good way of doing our action well is to really attend to the one at hand. You know, pay our attention to that one. And so there was a story about Venerable Sister Maria Crucifissa. She was sacristan, cook, you know, and also refectorian in the convent. So she was looking after the refectory, she was looking after the sacristy, looking after the kitchen. And then sometimes she was also given the responsibility to in charge of the door and also the medicine room. But she did everything well, and she was able to find time for contemplation. So her method was a simple one. When she was in the sacristy, she told herself, now be nothing but a sacristan. And then when she finished her job, she told herself, now you are a sacristan no more. So, and then she was doing it, you know, for every single thing that she was doing. So when she was doing things, she focused on what she was doing. So she did everything really well by doing that. So to stay focused. And then, you know, the second obstacle would be haste. You know, we want to do things really, really fast. Especially in our age, it's a microwave age, you know, and then also with Facebook and things, you always want to do things really fast. Instant communication. But you know, the things actually, they go a bit slower than that. Actually, quite slow than that. You know, think about St. Charles Borromeo. You know, when he died, he was in his 40s. You know, think about Charles Borromeo. But he was able to do quite a lot of things in his life. And then he was considered slow by people. He never rushed a ceremony. He do things really slow, but he did a lot of things. Francis de Sales, you know, Vincent de Paul, Philip Neri, they all do things, you know, they accomplish a lot of things, but they never in a hurry. And so they are able to do, you know, like St. Vincent de Paul, able to accomplish more than many people, even though he was considered slow by other people. But at the end, he ended up doing much more than other people. Because when he do things, he focused one at a time, and he did that really well, and so he put his heart into that, and so he was able to accomplish more than others. So Prophet Dissel would say, let us go slowly, for if we do but keep advancing, we shall thus go far. Philip Neri said, you need not try to do everything in a day, nor to become a saint in a month. Prudence does not advise it. Vincent de Paul said, the works of God are performed for the most part little by little. So if we do the work of God usually it's bit by bit. God is not in a hurry. Now, and then of course another obstacle of doing our thing well would be anxiety. So let's go back to our book now, Introduction to the Devout Life. You know, that is the book, actually, when he wrote about diligence, St. Francis especially wrote about diligence versus anxiety, or talking about we need to be diligent in our work but not to get anxious. So that's the main focus in the introduction to Devout Life, because remember, right now we are presenting different topic of the spiritual life. Use that book as a framework, you know, as a structure. We are in Path 3 right now. Path 3 is about practicing virtues, and we are on diligence, okay? So, St. Francis says in that particular chapter, Path 3, Chapter 10, basically, it's about diligence, but it's actually more about avoidance of worry, you know, like the yesterday gospel, you know, in that one passage, we got 5 to 6 times about the word worry pattern, you know, telling us not to worry. So, is that the bumblebee, B-U-M-B-L-E, bumblebee, you know, make far more noise, and it's more, you know, than the honeybee. So, but they don't make honey, they make wax. So it's talking about those who are restless and eager. They make a lot of noise, but they don't do much. And then also talking about the flies, you know, the flies, they bother us, they are annoying because of their number, not because of what they have done, but by their number. So quite often, we can be more disturbed by the number of small little things that need to be done than by the big thing that we need to pay attention to. So when we accept the duties which come upon us quietly and try to fulfill them, you know, one after another, that's what we should be doing. But if we attempt to do everything at once, then with confusion, then we will be, you know, not successful. We can even accomplish nothing. So again, it's a bit like the first two things we mentioned about not to be in haste, you know, do one thing at a time. And so it's important for us to remember that, you know, when we are doing things, try to maintain that peace in our heart. You know, have the intention to do everything for love of God. And of course, St. Francis also in that chapter, he suggests that, you know, sometimes we can be doing something that does not require the full of our attention. In that situation, we can fix our mind on God, you know. You think about the holy monk in the desert, you know, they were making basket, they were making mats, you know, like Marissa is doing right now, you know, and the holy monk, they will be praying and doing at the same time. Some people, they find no problem when they are driving, they may pray the rosary. That's okay. That's, if you can do it, it's a good thing. You know, so it's when the thing that we are doing doesn't require our full attention, we can actually, it's no harm to be praying and doing at the same time. But of course, if the work do require your full attention, then of course, you know, especially the first method we mentioned about focus, that's applied. We have to stay focused. But stay focused, not to forget that from time to time, we can also raise our mind to God, as indicated in the part 2 of St. Francis' Self-Introduction to Devout Life, the part 2 about prayer, that he also advised us not to forget to pray during the day. So from time to time, we raise our mind to God. So, you know, when people are, you know, they are driving a sheep, you know, they may be looking up to heaven to be able to know the direction, to where to go. You know, in the old days, to look at the star, to look at the, so they know where to go. So when we are working, you know, it's also like we can look up to God, you know, from time to time, so that we have that sense of direction and also obtain blessing from God of the work that we do. So that prayerful spirit really sanctify our work. Sometimes we can be more focused on God than the thing that we are doing, because the thing we do is so simple. But also because and the work that we do really require our attention, then we make the intention to offer that up to God and do our best to pause from time to time to receive blessing from God and to raise our mind in prayer. And St. Francis himself, you know, he really doesn't like people to do too much. You know, they decide to do too many things. St. Francis Sales, you know, he taught that spiritual progress depends less on doing much than upon the spirit of love which prompts what is done. He also taught that one good work done out of love is more worthy in God's eye than many done out of indifference. And then he also taught that the worth of any good work depends largely upon the purity of intention with which it is done. So, St. Francis Sales always encouraged people to undertake less, but to give worthy attention to perform what they did undertake with the greatest attainable perfection. So, sometimes it can happen that we want to take more because that makes us look important. You know, I got so many things that I'm doing, I'm so powerful. But, you know, in the eyes of God, we know we ultimately we should answer not before people, we answer before God. And it's important to remember that, you know, in the eyes of God, it's not the quantity that is important, it's the quality. If we undertake many things, but because of the amount of it, we suffer in quality, not worth it. Better to take on less than to do them well, than to take on many that you do not do it well. Yes, that makes sense?
Sure.
Yeah. So that's why, you know, even though people don't agree with me in the Legion of Mary, I suggest, you know, if you have some presidium not working well, better to combine them to make one good presidium than too many groups that are all struggling, you know, try to survive. You know, sometimes some of the group, they have only two or a few members and then they struggle to survive. Why not just combine them into one and make one good group? Then have many groups, but not quite working well. Anyhow, this is another business that Abe will have to push. So, that's about diligence. Another virtue, you know, St. Francis, after talking about diligence, then he went on to mention three virtues that are really important for religious. Well, of course, St. Francis pointed out that we attain perfection by charity. But charity is achieved by, acquired by obedience, chastity, and poverty. And we have to keep in mind that those three virtues are not only for religious in the convent, not only for priests and nuns, but also everybody, even a married person, can practice those three virtues in some degree and should practice those three virtues. And then obedience consecrated the heart, chastity the body, and poverty our worldly goods to the love and service of God. And these three are the branches of the spiritual cross, and all three must be raised upon the fourth, which is humility. So those are the important virtues that we can acquire charity. So today we will mention about obedience, and next meeting we'll talk about chastity and poverty. And then in April we'll talk about an important subject, which is about friendship, that we can become holy, you know, in friendship. And also there's sometimes we can have true friend, sometimes we think they are friend, but they are not truly friends.
Frenemies.
Oh yeah, that's one of the teacher in the school that I give her the nickname Frenemies. Yeah, anyhow, yeah. Because sometimes people in the world may use the word friendship, but you know in the spiritual life, St. Francis make clear distinction. How can you distinguish what is true friendship and what is not? You know, so we will get into that in April. But for now, until April, we will talk about the Evangelical Council. And the three important virtues for religious life: obedience, chastity, and poverty. So today is obedience. Obey. Listen. Okay. Get ready. Okay. Yeah. So there are two kinds of obedience. Okay. One is of necessity. The other one is voluntary. Okay. Of course, you know, when the wife, there's a wife here, obey husband, that's necessity, obedience. When children obey parents, Marissa obey mommy, that's necessity. When you obey your pastor in your parish, Father Hoswell, Father Rudo, that's necessity, Okay. And then, so got an idea, when I obey bishop, you know, that necessity, when we obey the Pope, that necessity. So that's when we are obeying out of duties. That's obedience of necessity. Voluntary. If you go to confession, you confess, and you have a regular confessor, you obey your confessor. Or your spiritual director, you obey your spiritual director. That's your personal choice. Who is your spiritual director? Who is your regular confessor? That's voluntary obedience. You know. And lots of Catholics, they may go from confessor to confessor. That's fine. But, you know, it's also a healthy practice to a regular confessor that you go on a regular basis. So if you go to a regular confessor and then you submit your question in your life, you ask your confessor for advice, and then you obey what the confessor tell you to do, that's obedience, is voluntary. Saint Teresa of Avila even make a fourth vow. She make a vow, you know, she make a religious vow to obey her religious superior, you know, in the Carmelite order. But she also make a fourth vow. I think it's not only the fourth, she make another vow. I think she make more than four vows. But one of the vows she make was to obey her spiritual director, you know. So she make a vow to obey her spiritual director, that voluntary. I think she also make a vow of profession that she will, when she do things, she always will choose the most perfect thing to do. You know, one of her vows too. But anyhow, so, you know, think about that. God ordinarily make known to us what he want us to do through other people. In the Old Testament, you know, God make known to the chosen people what he want them to do through leaders like Moses, like the prophets, you know. It's a bit weird that God would tell you directly, say, I want you to do this, you know. God will give us, in prayer, a lot of time God give us good inspiration, good idea might come to our mind, you know. You'll be aware of occurrence when you hear God actually speaking to you verbally. Quite often God speaks to you through good ideas that come to your mind, a sense of peace when you're doing the right thing. That's how Jesus speaks to us. But also because we are wounded by original sin, quite often we can deceive ourselves. We can have an idea that, is that really from God or is that my imagination? Maybe I desire to do something, but is that really from God? Or is that only my desire? And oftentimes in that situation, those who represent God can really help us to set things right. The obedience, really that is a great grace to be able to submit those desire, different desire and thought to a spiritual father, you know, in confession or spiritual direction, or sometimes in matter to do with some organization or family, to submit that to someone in higher authority to have the grace to able to give you the answer. So the saints understood the value of obedience, a good number of the saints, they enter religious life precisely because of their desire to obey. Because they know that that's the clearest way to know the will of God. So, now, St. Francis de Sales, he talking about, you know, but also think about that sometimes God can make known his will to us not only through the superiors, but also of our equal or even our inferiors. So, to have that submissive spirit to other people is also extremely healthy for our spiritual life. Now, of course, the attitude should be understand, it's not that because I want to be popular. You know, if you always say yes to people, you're going to be popular. You know, but it's not because I want to be popular, but because I want to listen to God in other people. The ultimate thing is I want to do the will of God. So, St. Francis de Sales would mention, you know, of course, you know, promptly, readily obey the superior, but also give way to the opinions of your equal, where nothing wrong is involved. You know, avoid arguing with them. And then, also adapt yourself easily to the wishes of your inferiors, as far as you can reasonably can. So avoid the exercise of stern authority so long as they do well. I remember my first pastor, you know, Father Michael Conahan, he always say that, you know, when things are working, don't fix it. I think I apply the same principle in my own parish. You know, when things are working, you don't fix it. You know, if they're doing well, have been for years, you know, you are the new pastor, doesn't mean you can just go and change everything. Just leave them alone. You know, And then I find that, you know, one thing I think I'm here happy for 3 years with Father Vincent. You know, Father Vincent is good in a way that he really give freedom to the staff, to let them do things. You know, when they request to have some initiative, when there's some good suggestion, usually he open, quite open to new suggestion and let people do initiatives, some things like that. So that was a good 3 years, you know. And then something that I found that he always courteous to the staff. You know, when he go to the school, he would say, you know, anything for me to sign, you know. And then so when I came to Cloverdale Catholic, the first thing I saw the secretary, anything for me to sign. And then she went, oh, I like him. He, you know, I just thought like Father Winston, and then people like that. So he's being courteous to the staff, to the people, you know. Appreciate what they are doing is go a long way. And so St. Francis de Sales' friend, you know, the bishop who wrote the book, you know, he also mentioned that. He made a distinction, you know, submissive to superior, equal, and inferiors, you know. And he wrote something like this: because we are obliged to acknowledge our superiors as our masters, submission to them is better looked upon as justice rather than humility. Submission to equals is friendship and courtesy. Submission to inferiors, however, is real test of humility, because it is in this act that we actually confess ourselves to be nothing and prostrate ourselves before the whole world. So I think it's important that we do listen to people, you know, listen to people. Even though they may not be our equal, even though they might be more junior than we are, you know, listen to them. And sometimes, a lot of time when making decision, listen to people can also avoid a lot of mistake too. Can also avoid a lot of mistake. Now, Saint Maximilian Kolbe, you know, if you are you know, for the priest, we do the office of reading, you know, as part of our obligation of praying the office every day. On August 14, on his feast day, you know, there is a beautiful writing of St. Maximilian Kolbe, you know, these things who, a martyr of charity who died in World War II. And then he wrote something like this: God, who is all-knowing and all-wise, knows best what we should do to increase his glory. Through his representatives on earth, he continually reveals his will to us, that it is obedience and obedience alone that is the sure sign to us of the divine will. A superior may, it is true, make a mistake, but it is impossible for us to be mistaken in obeying a superior's command. The only exception to this rule is the case of a superior's commanding something that in even the slightest way would contravene God's law. So that's the only exception, when he's commanding you to do something sinful. Otherwise, when the superior commands you to do something, even though it might be less perfect objectively, you know, there can be two things you can do, to work or to rest, and superior see you getting tired, so you rest, don't work. You know, even though resting objectively might be less perfect than working, you know, but because it's a command given by the superior who represents God, so the will of God for you at that moment will be rather to rest than to work. So for you at that time will be the most perfect thing to do. So even though superior they can make human mistake, they are human too, but the one who obey God always look after. That they would not, they will, when they obey, it will always turn out to be for their benefit. And so, in a way, that is also a sense of trust, God, they represent God, so God is guiding what they are doing, and God will also look after you when you obey superior because of love of God. And, so St. John of the Cross, he mentioned that obedience is a penance of the soul, and for that reason, a sacrifice more acceptable than all corporal penance. Then it happens that God loves more the least degree of obedience in you than all the other services you may think to render him. And Jesus also told St. Faustina, my daughter, know that you give me greater glory by a single act of obedience than by long prayers and mortifications. Another occasion, Jesus said to St. Faustina, anything, no matter how small it be, that has the seal of obedience to my representative is pleasing to me and great in my eyes. And one bishop, he wrote, the author of My Catholic Faith, Joseph Louis Moreau, he wrote that if we fast, now this is the session I taken when he wrote about the religious life. Huh? So he wrote about obedience. He wrote, when we fast, give alms, or lose our reputation for God's sake, we only give a part of ourselves. But if we give perfect obedience, we sacrifice our will. We give all we have. We have nothing more to give. So that's why I would say that three vows that religious make, the fundamental one would be obedience, because it's the one that really consecrate the heart and the will to the service of God. So when we're thinking about what we have learned today, we learn about that. Diligence, to fulfill our task well, the three hindrances, that we don't focus, we think about what we have to do next, what we have to do, what we have done before, that we are not focusing, haste, anxiety, and the desire to do too much. And so we should work, stay focused, go slowly, peacefully, and also focus more on quality than quantity. And then we also talking about, the Evangelical Council, the virtues help us to achieve charity, and obedience is when God, we obey because we know that the superior represent God, And sometimes we also have to watch out, sometimes the superior have the grace to do something that we do not. And then if we want to take in when we want to dictate, want to control everything, even what the superior would tell us to do, we are taking on something that can that beyond what we are capable. I think one thing that for me as a priest, one thing that I feel peaceful about is that I don't choose to be in COVID-19. I don't make the choice to be in Precious Blood. It's just like, you don't pray your children. I don't pray my parishioners. You don't pray your parents. You have no choice. The parishioners have no choice. They have me. but one thing is that no matter which parish you go into, there's no perfect parish. There's always something that you really like. There's also some people that will annoy you, So the thing is that the idea that is obedience that sent me to Clovedale to Precious Blood give me tremendous peace, and then I won't dare to tell the bishop where to send me, because if I do that, I'm actually trying to do something that is not not me that have the grace to do. It's him that have the grace to send priests where they should go, but not me to tell him what to do. You know. So that's just one thing, a practical example in my personal life. I just want to share a little bit. But another one I would want to share is from a real saint who died in the year 339. I think you all know St. Anthony the Abbot from January the 17th. Huh? That is a monastic figure, which is in the life of the saints. You know, the black life of the saints will be on March the 7th. His name is St. Paul the Simple. St. Paul the Simple is one of the most prominent disciples of St. Anthony the Abbot. Okay, so we know St. Anthony the Abbot, he's in the universal calendar, but I think many people doesn't know about St. Paul the Simple. But his life is a little bit interesting, and it also tells us that obedience can be extremely pleasing to God. So this is a copy from the life of the saint I just shared with you. So he called the simple because of his childlikeness, okay? Up to the age 60, wow, 60, he had lived a life of a laborer. But because his wife was infidelity, he discovered by surprise his wife was unfaithful to him. So without saying a word to her, he just left, and he left the world for good. So he went 8 days' journey to the desert and seek St. Anthony and beseech him to accept him as his disciple and teach him the way of salvation. But St. Anthony judged he's too old, you know, to enter into the hermit's life. Would it, you know, tell him to go back to the world and use hard work to serve God? Or go to another monastery that was put up with his stability, you know? And then he shut the door, so don't come. But Paul remained outside, fasting and praying continuously until the fourth day. When Anthony opened the door, discovered him still there, he said, "Go away, old man." And then he said, "Why are you so persistent? You cannot remain here." And then Paul answered, "I cannot die anywhere but here." So, and realizing he had no food and fearing he would actually die there, and then he was responsible in his conscience, so really reluctantly, St. Anthony let him in. So, as St. Anthony said, "You can be saved if you are obedient and do what I enjoy." And then he said, "I will do whatever you command." So, St. Anthony actually gave him some really severe tests to test his determination. So, you know, he would ask him to stand outside and pray until he told him to stop. So he obeyed, even though there was heat and sun. He didn't break his fast, just keep on praying. And then he would invite him to come to the cell, to enter to the cave, and to make mats, you know, like Marissa was doing, making mats, you know.
Making a hat.
Oh, that's a mat, okay. And then after he made 15 of them, he said, "You're not doing well. Okay, turn it apart and do it again." So he would turn it apart, not complain, and do it again. In the meanwhile, he always fasting when doing that. And then St. Anthony would another have, and then ask him to, you know, four a piece of bread, you know, really hard, you know, in those days, that really hard bread, to put them into water to soften them, because they're really hard and dry. So when the food was ready, instead of eating, he would ask Paul to sing songs to him and then sit down beside the loaves until evening. So hungry, but no, fruit is there, but just sing songs and then sit beside the bread until evening. So by the time, okay, so it would be the time to eat. So at night they would pray together and take short rest, rising at midnight for further prayer until daybreak, still not eating yet. And then after sunset, each one would eat a loaf. So four pieces of bread, each of them take a loaf. And St. Anthony asked Paul, "You want another one?" And then he said, "Yes, if you do." And Anthony just said, "It is enough for me. I am a monk." And then Paul said, you know, "It is enough for me. I wish to be a monk."
So, and then another, he want more training. For example, he asked him to draw water, and then when he got the water from the well, to just put it away. And then he would ask them, not this time it's basket, making basket, and then undoing them, and do it again. And he asked them to tie the garment, fix it, tie it again, you know. So he asked, and so obedient, lots of things that he asked him to do, but he never complained, he just do whatever he was told cheerfully and promptly. And then one time he even just poured the honey on the ground and told him to pick them up without any dust on the honey. So really severe trial. But after all this, St. Anthony himself was admired that Paul was extremely patient. And so after all those tests, actually, another occasion, there's some guests in the hermitage, and then there was a conversation going on. And Paul was a really simple man, right? He just came and asked that question. You say, the prophets was before Christ, or Jesus Christ before the prophets? This is not a good question to ask, you know. This is a simple question. They don't even know the answer. So St. Anthony was pretty upset with that question and say, go away and keep quiet. And for a few days, he kept quiet, not saying a single word. Until a few days later, somebody told St. Anthony about that. And then he exclaimed, how this monk put us all to shame. That's how what St. Anthony said. He immediately obeys man's simplest order, while we often fail to listen to the word which comes to us from heaven. So when the training was complete, St. Anthony established a cell, 3 miles from his own, and then he would be there to visit him, to continue to help him in his spiritual life. And then he also recognized in that old man singular spiritual gifts and certain power of healing and exorcism power, even greater than St. Anthony himself. So oftentimes when St. Anthony cannot cure somebody, he would send the sick person to St. Paul, and he would able to restore the person to health at once. So, and also another divine gift of St. Paul was to read people's thoughts. So when somebody comes to church, he looks at the face of the person, he knows what thought you have, are they good thought or bad thought. And then, St. Anthony really have great esteem, for St. Paul. And he himself even have greater miraculous power than St. Anthony himself. So, see the power of an obedience man. Let's see, give us an example. St. Paul the Simple.
When is this day again?
March the 7th. Okay. It's not in the calendar, but if you look at the life of the saint, you can look into that on March the 7th. Then you can find that St. Paul the Simple. Or you can Google St. Paul the Simple. St. Paul the Simple. Yeah.
Simple.
Simple.